A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, an epic battle between light and dark was fought.
We're your hosts, Shalom and Courtney, and we're calling all
Jedi junkies.
From Tatooine to Jakku, to buckle up for this hyperdrive adventure through the galaxy.
You're listening to Jedi Junkies on Almost Nerdy.
We are going to spoil these movies, so make sure you've already watched them.
All right, it's the bonus episode.
Thank you. I'm imagining flashing lights, some confetti.
Some, you know.
And then from backstage,
right.
We're like, and our special guest, and then Baby Yoda comes out.
Baby Yoda comes out.
Baby Yoda!
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. If you didn't know yet, we are talking about The Mandalorian, mm-hmm. our bonus episode. We were not anticipating on doing this. We mm-hmm. actually said, we're like, no, we're not going to add this into the series.
Yes.
Like, it does not make sense within Jedi Junkies. Mm-hmm. It's not really within the Skywalker, you know, frame, even though we've done Solo and we did Rogue One. But it's not really in that too much. But then the show was just too awesome.
Yeah.
Like, it was just too awesome for us not to want to talk about it.
Yeah, it was really good. Baby Yoda, big surprise first episode.
Oh my gosh.
First episode is like, oh my gosh, what the heck? And he's so cute, and basically it's taking over internet culture. It's everywhere.
Gosh. He's everywhere. The Baby Yoda memes are wild. Like they are on fire. They are wild. I love every single one of them. I haven't seen a Baby Yoda meme that I don't like. Even if the caption's not that good, the picture's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah, my favorite is I take a sippy sip out of my cuppy cup before I go to work.
Shalom loves all the ones where it's like kind of baby language.
Yeah, it's so
any
good.
Any of those, Shalom's
it's
like.
So good.
Shalom is sold on those ones.
Yes. Let's keep doing this.
Okay. So Shalom is going to do the two-sentence summary,
and then we're
going to rate the movie.
Rate the movie.
Well,
okay.
Series.
All right. So two-sentence summary, very simple. So Din is a bounty hunter who is given a mission to capture a secret. They don't tell him what it is, but to capture like a secret bounty that he has to then return to his, like, the creed, whatever he's part of. And then he discovers that it's Baby Yoda and has to protect him through the galaxy.
Multiple sentences.
That wasn't multiple sentences. I added brackets.
Always adding parentheses. Always adding brackets.
Yeah.
Commas.
Oh my god. It's very simple. I mean, he's sent to get a bounty. Turns out to be Baby Yoda. And he ends up protecting him.
Yes.
So it's, yeah.
Overall, there's a lot that goes on in the in-between, but that's the overarching what happens.
We don't know where Baby Yoda is from.
No,
we don't know any of that, but it's just exciting. He's cute, and we want him to stay alive, and we want Din to keep doing his thing.
Yes. So one thing that I want to say before we start, if you're one of those people who goes around and says, this is not actually Baby Yoda to people, please don't be that person.
Don't be that person.
I know that we're supposed to call him the child, but we're going to call him Baby Yoda. We know that he's not literally Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But that's an easier name.
Mm. Also, it's too late as well.
The child sounds creepy. I don't like saying that.
Yeah. It's too late. He's Baby Yoda.
He's too late. The internet has deemed him Baby Yoda.
It's like Gary, Jerry, I don't even know, Larry. It's
Gergich.
Like, once we change, the name is changed, it's done. Like, that's your name. Live with it.
Nice Parks and Rec reference. Okay.
Shout out.
How would you rate this series, Shalom?
I would give it a 10 out of 10.
Me too.
Absolutely. It's incredible. Like, the storytelling is beautiful. And in this situation, you can tell, like, I mean, they give different directors, like, a turn at directing each episode. And you can see their specific DNA in the movies. Mm-hmm. But without, like, you know, it's obvious they're spending time in the same room. There's a lot of, like the way everything comes back around, like, with Quill coming back in the seventh episode. So you have all of that. The story ties together. And so... it's really cool. Like, I love it so much. Yeah.
We have watched it so many times in a row because we just freaking love it so much. It's just so good. some things that I really enjoyed about it is, like, yes, I feel like you can feel the different stamps of each director.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also really like that they give the episode the amount of time that the episode requires.
Yeah.
So there are some episodes that are 35 minutes. There are some that are, like, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's like they give the episode the time that it needs. They give the story the time that it needs. There isn't, like, I felt like there wasn't this, like,
set
need.
Time.
Yeah, this need to make them all, like, 45 minutes or all half an hour. Or all. Like, I like that they gave the story the time that it needed to be the story for that episode.
Absolutely.
I liked that a lot.
Absolutely.
I also really like that I feel like we really get that, like, grit side to Star Wars. Like, I feel like you kind of get that with Han. You kind of get that with the bounty hunters. Like, you get that a little bit. But I felt like we really got to feel that. And this is such an interesting time because it's right when the Empire has ended and the New Republic is starting.
Yes.
And we don't get to see that. Like, we don't get to see that in the movies.
Yeah.
We go straight from Return of the Jedi to Force Awakens.
Yes.
So we go, like, from here to here.
Uh-huh.
And we don't really get to see this, like, in-between time of, like, what that's like. And it was funny. When the first episode started, I was like, I never thought, like, oh, the stormtroopers, like, they're still around. Like, they just didn't go somewhere. Like, there are these, the universe is huge. The galaxy is huge. Like, thinking about a new government just being able to, like, have control, like, doesn't make sense. So there would still be these little, like, empire pockets of control still.
Yeah.
And they would be trying to, you know, do their own thing, their own plan.
Yeah.
So I thought that that was a really, really interesting concept that I really enjoyed. I really liked that a lot.
Yeah. And each it's not a continuous kind of... you meet new characters in each episode. And so, like, the first episode, you meet Quill. And the second episode, I think, is still Quill.
Yeah.
But then there's kind of, like, a new adventure there. Mm-hmm. But you meet, I mean, Baby Yoda comes at the very end of the first episode. Oh, but he's more, like, dominant in the second episode, where he kind of levitates the mud horn, and in that, like, which is really cool.
My gosh.
And then the third episode, they introduce a new character. So each episode has this fresh take on. Like, the galaxy, because they're going to different places.
Yes.
And also kind of gives a little bit of information of, like, what you said, like, some of that grit, so, like, the prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, like, floating.
Oh, yeah. That was a really cool episode.
In the galaxy, just floating around. And I thought that was really cool. You can see some of the these weird details about wow, this is how they dealt with people who... were in the Empire. And I thought that was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Mm.
The other thing that I really enjoyed is that they don't know what Baby Yoda is. And it's so funny because, like, Yoda is so central to the Star Wars universe. You know, the movies that we've seen. He's such a big character. And as we all know, he's my favorite character.
Mm.
So it's like, I love him so much. And it's funny to see characters who are like, what is the Force? They don't know what the Force is. Like, and I think that actually kind of brings something into play, which is, like, I remember thinking when I was originally watching Star Wars for the very first time as a kid, like, how does Han not know that the Force exists?
Yeah.
Like, how does he not know that? Like, or even like in the Empire, where they're like, your ancient religion, you know, to Darth Vader, where it's like, as Star Wars viewers, as Star Wars fans, like, we're used to, like, what the Force is and what the Force does, because we're following characters who are one with the Force. Like, they know the Force. But actually, the vast majority of people don't know what it is, and they don't know how to use it. And they, like, so it's confusing to them. So I think that that was a really interesting take on things, to have everybody kind of confused by what is Baby Yoda. Like, why is he like this? How can he move things with his mind? And it's like, we don't really come to, like, terms with that really until the last episode, when finally the armorer is like, I've heard rumors of this. Like, I've heard of it before. Yeah,
that, I thought that was really cool. I like it was a much needed break, to be honest, from the craziness of the main Star Wars canon, so to speak. And I thought that this is such a, you know, you've always talked about, you know, how you're tired of, you know, the Skywalker family just destroying the universe. It's cool to have something that's outside of that, in all honesty. And for us, I think it was really, you know, there's much contrast between just the beauty of storytelling that we see in this series and the last movie that we saw, which we were disappointed in, as we shared in the last episode. It actually made me appreciate this series more. Just the beauty of collaboration and storytelling. You can see that these guys, John Favreau, is like an amazing producer. Incredible. And he wrote it. Having this, like, just one cohesive story, and even though you have different directors, they're bringing their own flavors, allowing us to be intrigued and tickled in different ways in each episode. But at the same time, having this one story that we're like, wow, like, we're following this. This is beautiful. And I love how in the last episode, which is the crazy episode, they actually dive more into characters. So why Din is afraid of droids. There's some character development that happens there. And I love that, like, they were able to take even episodes that should be crazy, and shooting, fighting, and add depth to that. And you can see just how genius of, you know, like, the right, like, the genius of the writers and producers. It's really, really good.
So if you had to pick a favorite Mandalorian episode, which one would you pick?
Oh, my word. I'll pick the last one.
Yeah?
I'll pick the last one.
Oh, why?
I feel like it's depth and action, you know? So, and I love both, and I get to experience both without there being, like, weird gaps. And I thought that was, for me, it's one of the most genius episodes I've seen in a long time.
Did you have a specific favorite part of that episode?
IG-11 is incredible. Incredible. Amazing fighter, but he's actually used to draw out Din a whole lot.
Yes. And
it's actually really cool when he's like, I'm not a living thing, and then he lifts the helmet.
Yeah.
We get to see his face, which I've had an internal debate about whether whether I like it or not, because I kind of like the whole Doctor Who, we still don't know what his name is.
Yeah.
Let's keep the mystery. Her name, what's her name? Like, we still don't know. And so that is something that is really, like, it's really cool, to be honest. Like, I'm torn about it, but at the same time, it does show a lot of character. There's so much of his growth that happens where he's sad that IG-11 has to lay down his life.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, like, where you see him go from being prejudiced against droids, which is something you see in the very first movie, of the very first Star Wars movie. There's no droids. Like, this hatred of droids. And you see him cross that line from hating and loathing droids to being like, wow, like, take his most intimate thing, his face, him exposing himself to IG-11. And I thought that was powerful.
Yeah, I definitely had mixed feelings about seeing his face.
Yeah.
Because so it's funny. In the very first episode, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope they show us his face. I just, like, the second that he was like, oh, we don't take our masks off, I was like, I need to see his face right now. I need to know this secret. I've never needed to know a secret more than anything else in my entire life. I need to know this. Yeah. But it's funny, as the series progressed and like I started learning, because I didn't know anything about Mandalorians. Like I knew nothing before this series. I only knew about like, you know, the whole Boba Fett, Jango Fett. But like even that, they don't really talk about anything there. Like we just know that they, we just know that they exist. So like learning kind of about like the Mandalorian and how like the technically like the Jedi defeated them and like all of that, like doing some reading up on like what happened to them. It made me like respect them more as a people, and then especially like as he keeps trying like giving extra to like the foundlings and like being like, wow, that's really important to him. Like he was saved by, you know, he was saved by the Mandalorians and brought in and trained within them. It made me like respect Mandalorians a lot more. And then I was like, I don't want to see his face. I actually don't want to see his face, because like it actually felt. Like it was like what you said, like it was a very intimate moment. Like it felt like a little too intimate. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm intruding now. Do you know what I mean? So like that was kind of intense for me. But actually I really liked how you said it with like, you know, no one has seen his face yet. IG-11 has seen it, and that was like a relationship that was like hatred at first, you know? So I think that that's really beautiful, actually.
That was really awesome.
Yeah, that was a really good episode. The last episode was really good.
Is that your favorite as well?
It's not my favorite, but I have two favorite moments from that. The first one is when they're trying to get Quill on the comm link, and Quill's dead, but Baby Yoda answers. Because he's just a cutie. I love every part of that. And then I really love when Armorer, it faces all the stormtroopers. I was like, ah!
Yeah, Amara is amazing.
That was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh wait, and then honorable mention, Moff Gideon coming out with the Darksaber. I had read about it in like my Wikipedia Google searches of like Mandalorians and like what all that was. And I had read about how there was a Mandalorian who did train in the Jedi ways, and he had the Darksaber. So I'm like, oh my gosh, how did this guy get the Darksaber? Like, he must have killed like whoever had it last.
Well, that's him, maybe?
I don't think it's him. I think he killed because of what Mandalorian, sorry, we know his name now, Din, said, like, where he was like, oh, he was part of the Great Purge. So because of that, I think he took it in the Great Purge because he was part of that.
Okay.
That makes like sense. Dissemination of the Mandalorians.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is like almost that more insulting. And I really like the place that the episode left us off, because at first I was disappointed that we weren't getting more into like the Mandalorians and like what happened to them and also like Baby Yoda, like we don't know anything about Yoda or his culture or anything. Like we know nothing about him. So I was really interested to see like what we would find out. And I kind of thought at first, like when he gave over Baby Yoda to like that scientist guy, that maybe the scientist guy would reveal some stuff, but he didn't. So like that felt like a bit of a letdown. But I do like the way that they brought it, and I think they would just wanted to set themselves up well for season two, and I'm sure that they're going to want a season three. Like, they're going to want to keep going with it. So I think that they're just, you know, taking their time with the storytelling, like, making decisions that make sense. But back to my favorite episode. I would say my favorite episode is the one where we meet Cara Dune. I love that episode. I absolutely love that they're, like, they're fighting this like AT-ST and like I just think it's so funny, because it's like we've seen a bunch of Ewoks take this thing out, and they're like, that's an AT-ST, like we cannot take it out, we cannot do it. And I'm like, Ewoks can do it, you guys definitely can do it.
Right. Yes Oh my gosh, like she's phenomenal. Like, just that, like, for me, it's like I just love how like BA she is.
Yes.
You know, like it's one, like she's like no nonsense type of personality. And I love the sippy moment, you know, where Baby Yoda like tea. sip sipping tea by Kermit.
Poor Kermit.
Yeah, it's Kermit, sorry. By Kermit, you know.
Yeah. I think Baby Yoda's got a long way to go to replace the Kermit sipping tea.
Ooh, I don't know.
Because Kermit sipping tea has been on the internet for a long time.
I have not
seen it. At least a decade.
It. Yeah, that's true. But I have not seen, like, Baby Yoda is replacing every moment in life.
He's replacing every moment.
It's like, me late to work, me watching TV, me, like, I've seen Yoda memes about everything. Baby Yoda is everything. You know, it's really cool. Like, oh, me holding my puppy towards the mirror, and it's like Baby Yoda holding Baby Yoda. It's like, oh my gosh, it's definitely the biggest moment in, like,
meme culture.
Like, meme culture this year.
We'll have to see, like, if it has longevity, though. That's what I'm saying. Like,
true.
You have to see, like, if it has longevity.
How,
like,
long it'll last. Yeah.
Because, like, remember when, like, Bad Luck Brian was a thing? Mm. Like, there were memes like that. And, like, yeah. they eventually die out.
Yeah.
So, I'm interested to see how long Baby Yoda goes for.
True.
Speaking of Baby Yoda, what were your top three Baby Yoda moments?
Top three?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, playing with the buttons. That was cool. Like, yeah. You just turning on stuff and looking at Din. Like, it was like the naughtiest. He knows it's naughty, but he's doing it.
He's so naughty. I love him.
Oh, okay, my gosh.
So pushing buttons.
And then I love the fire one. That's BA moment where he stops the fire.
In the last episode.
Pushes back in the last episode. And also in the last episode, do the hand thing. Do the hand thing. You're like,
he's waving. Oh my god!
I thought that was really funny. Like, it was like that was really cool. Like, just nice. That definitely was a Waititi like touch.
Yeah,
that whole episode has a lot of like his touch in it. Like
in the beginning, like, with like the stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! So help me, if another stormtrooper hits Baby Yoda ever again,
right?
I will force choke you. I will force choke you.
There's a meme for that.
And there's a meme for that. It's Baby Yoda.
This is gonna be my life. Like, there's a meme.
There's
for
a
that.
Meme for that. I have to say, I think my top Baby Yoda moments are probably. When he's, I love when he comes on the intercom, like I said, the comm link, when he's like, and he's like on the thing. Oh my gosh, so cute. That one, Baby Yoda sipping tea, which he's actually drinking the bone broth. Mm. And then when he eats the frog, I think it's in the very first episode he does that.
When he eats
second episode.
Yeah.
When he eats the frog.
Uh-huh.
It's like, oh, so gross, Baby Yoda. And then he looks up and he's like, spit that out, swallows it, looks up. He does. He intentionally does naughty things. Like, he's a troll. Like, he's trolling all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He is trolling all the time.
The best.
If you had to pick a favorite side character, who would you say?
Ooh, favorite side character? Mm-hmm. Ooh, IG-11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, first of all, like, I'm like, I want to go into fights with him. Like, he's BA. He's like the best fighter. And like, he's just, I mean, to be honest, that's the main reason is like,
it's just, I'm like, fighter.
I cannot see myself losing a fight with IG-11. He's like the best, like, going to war buddy, you know, type of, you know, like, what he can do is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, those fight scenes, like, when he flies in, like, when he comes in on all those stormtroopers and protects Baby Yoda and then turns his head around and his arms and just, like, slaughters all those guys. That was amazing. He was like, flip, that's really cool.
I have to say, when we were first watching the series through, like, you know, watching it live, I was really upset that they, like, in quotes, got rid of IG-11 so early.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what the heck? Like, he's, like, the coolest droid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you kidding me? You took the coolest droid and you're going to kill him? Like, that's such nonsense. Yeah. I was so upset. But this was better than what I could have imagined. Like, what actually happened bringing with the story. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to dive too far into it because it's going to be my theme is around IG-11.
Uh-huh.
But I really like the reconstruction idea and how he comes back as, like, he was originally a killer and he comes back as a protector, as a nurse.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who heals.
Yeah.
So originally he was all about violence and now he's not. But at the same time, it's like, they gave him really great comedic moments, I think. Like, in the first episode, when he keeps trying to blow himself up, like, that was just, that was hilarious. Like, that was just great.
Funny.
So I think that they gave IG-11 some really great moments.
Yeah.
I think his death in the end was perfect. Like,
it was
beautiful. I think we got the, like, we really got that emotional, we get like the emotional payoff of it all, you know, of like losing him for a couple episodes and then he comes back at the end and he's different and like he's protecting Baby Yoda. So I feel like his death was really felt, whereas I think if he had blown himself up in the first episode, we would have been like, oh, okay. You know, like, oh, that was good. That was good for our Mandalorian friend, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's definitely, his story is, like, it's such a great arc, you know, of him having to learn how to hold things, learn a lot of things. It's really cool. And Quill is an amazing personality as well. Like, he's just the loyalty he shows. He's very, you can tell he's trustworthy, but also, like, just his patience to say, like, I'm going to reteach this droid, like, how to, like, new programming, but also teach you how to walk, how to hold things, and then program him to be a nurse. That was really cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I think my favorite character is Kara. I really, like, I don't know, I just really like this idea of, like, she's just so tough. Like, she's so tough and, like, BA, and, but she's loyal.
Yes.
You know, And I find her character really interesting just because, you know, she's a shock trooper, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, so she was on all these like really, really tough missions, but it's like now they're in like a time of peace. And it's like now she's kind of an outcast again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she had her time to shine. But then they just wanted, it almost sounded like the New Republic wanted like a new Jedi force, almost kind of like what the Senate had before, how the Senate had the Jedi. But she was like not into that. She's like, no, that's not the type of person that I am. Like, I'm not a peacekeeper. Like, I'm a, you know, I'm not gonna protect like delegates.
Yeah.
Like, I was in it for like almost like the adrenaline rush of it, you know. So, and I have to say, like, I'm pretty sure she's an MMA fighter. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, I think she did she acts very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You don't always see that.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, you don't always see, like, that transition well from, like, that, so.
Yeah, I like that. And I think it really speaks a lot into, like, with the whole Star Wars saga, I feel like it was concentrated on specific personalities. These are the cool guys, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's cool to hear, like, oh, you're a shock trooper, like, you know, you're cool.
Yeah.
You don't just look scrawny and, like, look like, you know, you always need saving, that sort of thing. You look like you can handle yourself. That's why, like, you know, we appreciate Rogue One so much because it takes us way out of, like, the center. Or, like, you know, it's, like, it's really one of those, like, wow, like, there are all these other really cool personalities that you can love that are BA and actually help the war to be won.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah. So I feel like we kind of hit our, like, favorite moments and everything. Like, I didn't want to go too deep because otherwise this is going to be, like, a 10-hour podcast.
Right.
So what do you think about the end? Like, where do you think the series is going next?
Wow. I think, like, I am so excited for more history, more background, I don't know more about Mandalorians. I am most excited about Moth Gideon, to be honest. I want to know what's happening there. I'm like, I want to know, you know, about the Darksaber. I want conclusions on those things.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's something really cool behind it. There's a really cool story. I also want to know if this is in any way, shape or form, whatever, connected to what happens in the trilogy that we just went through. If there's a contribution to that. Or if this is going to lead to a totally different trilogy altogether. That is that. Because Star Wars, they're saying they have not ended. My initial reaction is, God, no, please stop. You know, we need to, let's move on with our lives. But if they do continue, I would not be too upset about them going like, okay, you know what, let's take this story, let's follow up with something bigger, something big enough, but not totally aside of the main stuff that we have been watching with, like, the Star Wars movies and everything. So yeah, I'm actually really excited more about the past. I'm cautious about what they're gonna do, like, that contributes to things that happened. I mean, and I'm talking about timeline wise in terms of what happens next in in that world. So, yeah, we'll see.
Does it make you feel any more confident that there have been rumors circling around saying that John Favreau is going to be in charge of everything Star Wars?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm like, if they're going to do anything Star Wars related, I'm like, absolutely yes. And a lot of it has to do with the way he's working with different directors. He's a very coordinated personality. Mm-hmm. And our biggest critique of the last Star Wars was that it just looks like there were a bunch of dudes in different rooms, like going like, hey, here's where I end my story. Here's where I end my story. And then they do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, it's like, okay, here's one guy who's like, okay, I don't care. Deborah Chow is one of the directors, and there's a whole bunch of different directors in this series, and just in season one. And I love just how John is so great at bringing all those pieces together, and he's really good at keeping them friends. You know, like, hey, we're all friends. Let's do this together. And I'm sure the guys who did the last trilogy were, you know, got along to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But definitely, as you look at the storyline, as you look at just where things were going, you can tell that there wasn't that much as much coordination as they needed to be for it to land well.
Mm. I think also, like, Jon Favreau has, like, he has the added experience of being part of the Marvel universe, you know, and seeing how, like, he was there from the inception. He was there from Iron Man. That was his baby, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we saw a meme recently that was like, it was like, Jon Favreau wants to make a Christmas movie, knocks it out of the park with Elf, like, wants to make a superhero movie, Iron Man, knocks it out of the park, especially at a time when I think he did something very different with Iron Man than what we had seen previously, I feel like, with superhero movies. Iron Man definitely has a different feel to it. So it's like he has started these creative projects and been able to do a great job, just a phenomenal job. So it's like I definitely would look forward to him, you know, spearheading Star Wars, because I think he would also I think what he has shown with Mandalorian is he has a lot of respect for the content.
A lot of respect for the content.
He has a lot of respect. He is very invested in it. I feel like you can tell that he's really invested in it. So yeah. I would be really happy by that.
I would be very happy about that. Like, I think that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as far as, you know, what I'm looking forward to is, I think I'm just looking forward to, again, like, this kind of slow pace moving through the galaxy. I think they're setting themselves up really well where, you know, we're set up in such a way that Din is going to have to search the galaxy to try to get Baby Yoda home, you know? Like, so I think that leaves a lot of opportunity for almost like, I think next season will probably be a little bit of like a mystery kind of feeling where it's like, you know, he's on a quest. He's on a quest to figure things out. And I'm hoping that we find out more about him and we find out more about Yoda and like that whole race of alien that we don't know anything about. So I think that's going to be really exciting. And I also think that like we know a little bit more like what we're kind of like in for this time, because I know like one of my earlier frustrations with The Mandalorian when I first started watching it, like I was really enjoying it, but I remember by the time that we hit the episode where I think it's the one where the I don't remember the name of it, the one where they break into the prison, that one, I was kind of like, okay, I'm ready to like get back to like, are we trying, like, what are we doing with Baby Yoda, like, are we trying to get him back, like, what are we trying to do here,
right?
But I do think that we needed to kind of, you know, he had to hide a few times. He needed to, like, try to get out of danger.
Yes.
We needed to kind of see his, like, seedy past almost, you know, like, where he's, like, he used to be very corrupt, I feel like, you know, didn't really care what he was doing as long as he got paid. Like, he was just, you know, a straight-up bounty hunter. So I think that was something that I was getting a little bit tired of, because I was hoping that we get more of Baby Yoda, but seeing where they land with this episode, with this last episode, I'm satisfied with the series and I would definitely give it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and I think, you're right. Like, it's, you almost want to be like, okay, let's talk about Baby Yoda. Yeah. Like, what's going to happen? And I liked the chapter by chapter.
Yes.
You know, feel of the show. Like, I really like that. Like, it's almost a little inconsistent in a good way, where they're like, okay, one adventure, they went on this one planet,
yeah,
they had this whole experience, oh, that was cool, let's move on to the next one,
yeah,
a whole different experience. But then somehow they found a way, like, almost like sometimes these little invisible threads,
yeah,
that like in the last episode they just tightened it, and you mm-hmm. see the effect of that, and it's like, whoa, like, that was really cool, like, we didn't see that coming. And so that was something that I thought that was really, really cool,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see. And I'm excited to see them, yeah, right, like, go off and find out, like,
mm-hmm.
okay, where's Baby Yoda from? Who are the yeah. Jedi? What's going on? Because that's a perspective we've never heard before, where it's, like, the outside perspective.
Yeah.
Which, where it's not just, like, the Emperor's going, like, you're a sorcerer. The First Order being, like, you're that sorcery. You're, you know, like, yeah. that, like, where it's negative almost.
Yeah.
But something where it's like, wow, what is it? Like, curiosity. I'm excited mm-hmm. to see that. You see that in Rogue One with I don't know how to say, Chirrut Imwe, like, the, you yeah, know, Chirrut. He's mm-hmm. yeah, he's blind, but he almost can see, kind of.
One with the Force. Yeah. The Force is with me.
Right, I'm one with the Force, and you see that curiosity of
yeah.
the Jedi, like, order mm-hmm. or culture,
mm-hmm.
and so that was a really nice taste of that, and so I'm excited to see more of that, like, curiosity.
Yeah.
Of, wow, okay, like, what are the Jedi? What mm-hmm. where are they from? Like, where did it start? And mm-hmm. I hope they go deep. You yeah. know, I hope they don't feel restricted to be like, oh, this is just a series. Let's not, like, really expose the whole thing about the Jedi. I think this is a good opportunity to do something like that, where it's like, you know, history. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the rumor thing. Like, oh, there are rumors about this yeah. and rumors about that.
Yeah.
And then rumors getting confirmed here and there. I'm excited to really get a taste of that.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that this is going to be really interesting, because it's like, you know, Din is a Mandalorian, and Baby Yoda, he's not a Jedi, but, like, he's naturally Force sensitive. Like, Yoda's species, we know that about him. Like, they're yeah. just naturally Force sensitive. And you yeah. can see that here. Like, he can already do crazy things,
mm-hmm.
and he can't even yeah. talk. You know yeah. what I mean? So it's like, and all that Din knows is that the Jedi, who he associates with the Force,
mm-hmm.
they killed the Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, for him, he's like, okay, so we're naturally enemies, but at the same time, Armor is like, hey, you took in this baby, like, you're its father now.
Yeah.
Like, unless you can get him back to, like, where he lives, like, you're his dad, and guess what? You get to train him now. Like, once he's old enough to be trained, like, you have to train him. So, I've seen some really great fan art of Baby Yoda wearing Mandalorian armor that I love.
Yeah, it's really so cool.
We'll see if that happens. Obviously, not when he's a baby.
It looks really cool.
Do that when he's a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, one other side thing that I really enjoyed about this is, one thing that I really liked is, like, when we first met Din, he's kind of in, like, this dingy armor, you know? And it's like, and then he has to do something, and he kind of gets, like, the armor upgrade.
Mm.
And then at the very end, he finally gets his, like,
yeah.
rocket booster thing.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't meet him at, like, highest power.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we kind of, I felt like we really got to go on the journey with him. That I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So my theme comes around IG-11. I had hinted at this earlier, and his reconstruction. And I just thought that this was a really beautiful story, because I feel like it also plays to this whole idea of the, like, the Star Wars universe where we are right now in The Mandalorian, where it's like, you know, IG-11 had to be completely reconstructed. He had to learn how to do everything all over again. And I think that that's kind of where we are in the Star Wars universe, where it's like, the Empire has fallen, and now we have a New Republic. And I feel like it's almost kind of like the patience of learning to regrow, and other people having the patience to help you start from the beginning. Because I feel like maybe the Republic was kind of pushing it again a little bit, like the New Republic was kind of pushing it, like they just wanted to get on their feet right away, instead of being like, Okay, so all these planets used to be ruled by warlords. Like, what are we going to do about that? How are we going to reconstruct that? Like, we literally need to teach them how to do everything. How to walk, how to eat, how to function. Like,
yeah.
And if you speed that up and you go too fast, like, you could see, like, in the whole, like, little montage when Quill's telling us, like, how IG-11 was, like, rebuilt and how he had to learn everything. And, like, he couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything, you know? He was, like, had to learn how to do everything again. And I feel like that's a really, like, beautiful story of reconstruction. And how, like, if you're going to reconstruct, you literally have to break everything down. And then you have to learn again from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, you don't really see that with the Republic. They don't really reconstruct. You still have the Senate, the new Senate, you know? And so they never really broke things down and changed, which I suspect might be the reason why things, you know, kind of, like,
why we got the First Order. Like, how did the First Order, you know, that's kind of like a question within my mind when we went into The Force Awakens. It's like, how did the First Order come so fast? You know what I mean? Like, there's not that much time between the ending of
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like this story of, like, reconstruction and rebirth, like, that it really, like, it's symbolic of, like, what should have been done versus what was done. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. Yeah, like, you know, that's something that, like, you're right. Like, you have to actually reconstruct. You have to break everything down and rebuild, and with good pieces that actually allow, and new programming, you know, to actually allow a difference to occur. Yeah, that's cool. So my theme comes from chapter 6, where Din goes to his old friend Ran, where he gets a job to help, like, set free a prisoner who's on a Republic, like, prison that's floating in the galaxy. And Rand kind of goes on this little, like, you know, you used to be this, like, you know, like, you know, when you meet an old friend and they start to talk about it, all your old adventures. And one of the things that he says is, like, he just, you know, we were in it for the money, but he said he was in it for the target practice. And Jane says, oh, that was, you know, in the past, you know, and I think that sometimes past choices that we have made, as much as we can be free of them, but one of the challenges that we face is sometimes people who are around us who actually loved that side of us, who were, like, you know, who benefited from that side of us, where you might have a friend that you used to do crazy things, get drunk with all the time, right? And maybe you reach a certain age where, you know, and I'm not judging, you know, do your thing, you know, it's, you know, do whatever you want to do. And at the same time, if you reach a point where you're like, you know what, this is becoming unhealthy for me, I'm struggling, or it's actually destroying my life, and you decide to do something different, there are people maybe that you used to drink with and hang out with, and they loved that crazy side, they loved that broken side of you, and they start to, like, want to kind of almost, like, bring it back, so to speak. And I feel like that's just one of those life challenges, and I think a lot of us face that, where our change is not just a change that is us, like, where it's like just us, but it's a change of relationships, a change of dynamics. There's so many things that you have to address as you reprogram and reconstruct and say, okay, you know what, I'm a different person now. I'm making different decisions. You know, we're in the new year now, and you know, a lot of us are like, you know, I need to make different choices. We've got all these resolutions. Resolutions are not just about, like, you changing, but I think, like, I mean, there are some that might be that, but at the most, I think it's a change of overall dynamic, relationships, conversations, interactions, and there are people who might be like, why are you changing? I like that crazy side of you. I like that side we used to do this. Even though it's destructive to you, they are thinking in that moment of how it affects them. And it's important to remind yourself that, hey, like, if this is good for you, if that change is good for you, if you stepping away is good for you, then, yeah, like, you should keep doing it. but also be ready to address some of those confrontations that may come out of that.
Yeah, I like that. It kind of reminded me of, there's like this meme that's been going around that it's like, if you knew me in high school, then like I'm a completely different person now. Like you'd have to reintroduce yourself to me now.
Right, yes.
Because like I'm just a different person.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what has happened to like Din with Ran. Like I feel like he's had a lot of life pass. And also just like, when you look at his background, like, it's traumatic. His parents were killed by droids, you know, and he was taken in by the Mandalorians. And there was probably, like, a lot of hurt, like, a real lot of hurt that's happened. And, like, hurt hopefully heals over time. Sometimes it doesn't. But I feel like in his case, like, I think his hurt had healed a lot since the last time he was with Ran. So it's, like, I do think that he's a different person. It's, like, almost like that. It's, like, hey, I almost need to reintroduce myself to you now. Because I am different. And I think that can be hard, like, when you meet people who you haven't seen in a long time. And they're like, you know, oh, you do this. And you were like this. And you're like, yeah, that's not really me now. I'm not into that anymore. And then it's almost like you get those questions like, why? And it's like, you feel like you have to justify who you are. And that's kind of like a weird place. Weird self-defensive place to be. You know, it's like, and it's, of course, like, Din isn't going to tell them that he's got Baby Yoda on the ship. He's like literally hiding this baby from them because he doesn't want them to go near him.
Because they're crazy.
Yeah, because they're crazy. And he's like, I need to protect the baby, but I also need money. So. Like, you need both those things. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting point of just like, who you used to be and then like having to kind of like face that again and like going back and like seeing who you used to be. I think that's really interesting.
It's crazy. Awesome. All right, thank you so much for joining us on this bonus episode of Jedi Junkies.
Yes, you will not be hearing from us for a few weeks. We are taking a little bit of a break.
The biggest break we've ever taken.
And we haven't really taken a break, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we did over the summer. We took a quick break so that we could get ready for Jedi Junkies. But other than that, we've pretty much been
on the go.
So taking a quick break, and we're going to be coming back with a Harry Potter series.
Harry Potter.
We are very, very excited for it. Yes,
and we have been going in and out. We're going to have a degree in Harry Potter.
We're gonna have a degree in Harry Potter.
Yeah, or at least you will. Like, I struggle.
Salome will have an honorary degree.
Yeah, I'm like
through Courtney.
it's gonna be like so much fun.
I'm very excited.
Me too. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you in a few weeks.